Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups. Marquis, can you tell our listeners who you are and a little bit about your background in marketing, please?
Yeah, I am an SEO, so I do search engine optimization, which basically I just help websites rank on Google. My background is in psychology, just like so many people in the US. And I decided I didn't want to work that 9-to-5 life. So I quit and started traveling and just was looking for something to do online that I could sort of learn as I went. And I got in with a company and they sort of trained me on SEO, on everything I know. And so after a few years, I was able to branch out on my own. And so now I've been doing it as an independent contractor for different e-commerce websites for a few years now.
Awesome. Excellent. And I'm happy to have you on. Actually, I do another podcast, which is focused on psychology because my education is in psychology too. And we did an episode. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, yeah, it's more common than you
Super
might think,
common.
I guess. Yeah. We did an episode on the SEO of psychology. And it was interesting to see how much there is an overlap there.
Oh, I would love to listen to it. Send me the link.
Yeah, definitely. I'll send you a link and I'll add it into the description of this. But for today's episode, on this one specifically here at The Loudspeaker, we will be focusing on setting realistic expectations for the ROI of digital marketing. And before our call today, we spoke a bit and you stated that revenue runs out when ad spend runs out. So it's best to invest that spend in more long-term sustainable efforts like SEO and growing your email list. Are there any case studies or cases when you would advocate using ads in a marketing strategy?
Yeah, definitely. I think that SEO is a long-term thing, so you can't really launch a business and depend on SEO. So new businesses or e-commerce, especially in drop shipping, a lot of people just sort of build shops left and right and depend on ads to bring in customers and revenue. So in many cases, it's really good. And I have a few clients who built their empires that way, basically. They just depended on ads for a few years until they had enough money in the bank to start hiring marketers to do other things like me and SEO. So I do think it has value, but then at the same time, when the pandemic hit, I knew a few friends who they lost their jobs because the company depended on ads only. And when the ads weren't working anymore because people weren't spending money, they weren't making any money to pay their employees. So it definitely is helpful. But if you don't have another acquisition channel to bring in customers and you depend only on ads, then that's really dangerous. It puts you in a horrible situation when a pandemic hits, for example.
Yeah, I guess you're not really future-proofing yourself if you just take that one strategy with ads. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because as soon as the ad's over, that's it. Nobody's seeing it.
Okay, so moving on to your specialty, SEO. How long will it take for a business to start seeing results when carrying out best practices for SEO? And could you give some examples of SEO best practices, please?
Yeah, this is always the big question every time I start with a new client. I have to give a huge disclaimer, like any SEO, it depends. It depends on your website. It depends on your brand. It depends on your budget. Best case scenario, I've had a few where within 3 months of starting, they were able to double and triple the traffic, and it just grew exponentially in a way that everybody was happy. And that's because I came in and their websites had existed for a couple of years. They had been producing content regularly. They already sort of had a flow going and they were established on Google and their brands were also known because Google sees everything. It's not just the search engine. It sees where your brand shows up on social media, where it shows up on other websites, even if it's not linking to your website. So If you already have an established presence, I would say between 3 to 6 months is pretty expected if you have a good strategy. At the same time, I have a client that I've recently started with, and they're fairly new, and it's an e-commerce business, and so they depended on ads up until this point, and their marketing, or I guess their content strategy, wasn't so focused, so Google didn't really know what to think of them. So it's a little bit slower because I have to sort of tell Google, like, look, this is what we're about, this is what we're doing, pay attention to us. And so that's, I think, it is definitely increasing in traffic, but not the same results as a website that already had a presence. And so as far as best practices, I think SEO is made out to be like it's some witchcraft, but it's really just, it comes down to good content. And I know that everybody online says that sometimes. It sounds a little overwhelming, like, oh, how can I create good content that makes me lots of money? But what I focus on is just providing information that is exactly what the person is looking for. And in SEO, we call that user intent. So if somebody is coming to Google to find more information about something in particular, you need to know, are they trying to buy this product? Do they want to research the product? Do they just want to know how to solve their problem and they don't even know the product exists yet? You need to really match that and be as helpful as possible. And then backlinks, obviously, is what everybody talks about. So that's a pretty important thing. What I'm finding, however, is that because Google is so smart, they've sort of sniffed out the backlinks that are low quality, and it's made it harder and harder to depend on backlinks to grow your website. So what traditionally would have worked maybe 3 years ago, like reaching out and getting a bunch of guest posts, that may have worked a few years ago, but I'm finding it doesn't now. And also everybody's annoyed with their inboxes being flooded all the time. So I just find that creating good content and then making real connections is a lot easier in that way, and people will find it and link to it, and you'll grow your website naturally. And then lastly, I would say what you actually do on the website besides the content, so the site architecture and the internal linking, like how you present your content to Google, I think that would be, if you're starting out, I would recommend focusing on that right from the beginning, because it's a lot easier to build good site architecture versus going back and trying to rearrange everything you've done over the years.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, actually, because obviously here at Publicize, our main focus, we do a number of things, but PR is one of our strengths, if not like our strongest point. And one thing that I've definitely found is focusing on your own media first is very important, because people are going to look at that to judge whether or not to include you in external publications. So if they go to your website and it looks crap and you just have terrible content on there, then they're probably going to be less inclined to have you be featured on their publication or have you on there. And also what you were saying about how long it takes to get results, it's a similar sort of thing in PR. And I know the two are closely linked, because obviously when you get PR results, you often get backlinks, but it takes time. Yeah, it's one of those things which you need to slowly work on it, but it's like most things, the longer it takes, probably the more valuable it is once you have it. So I definitely see a lot of similarities there. Yeah.
A lot of times I feel like I'm unofficially doing PR, probably like not nearly as well as an actual PR person, but I have to convince people to trust the brand that I'm working with, and that, yeah, you have to present yourself in a way that looks good. That takes time.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
And when we spoke before, you mentioned the importance of hiring the right marketing talent to do the job you need and not to be super involved in every single process if you're a business owner. What skills, qualities, or results should a business owner look for when hiring marketing talent?
This is such a tricky question, I feel like, because it's so easy to be like, oh, this is what you should look for on a resume, but there, that only tells you so much. So what I would recommend, obviously, unfortunately, experience really does matter. I say unfortunately because for the first few years when you're starting out, it's really hard because you are paid so little and it's really hard to make a living and just survive. But that experience adds up and it gets you to a point where you know what you're doing and people can trust you. So I would look for that first. And then also attitude. I think attitude is really important. I, for instance, the first client that I told you about who I miraculously convinced to hire me when I first started, they said that they almost didn't go with me because I didn't have the experience, but I told them in the interview, teach me everything you know, and I will do anything for you. I am basically yours for the next few years if you just teach me everything you know. And they loved that attitude and they loved that I was interested and eager and ambitious. And they told me that, and I've carried that with me. And now when I'm hiring assistants or VAs, I sort of look for that as a filter because I've hired VAs in the past. And if they don't have that attitude, they're just there for the money, then they don't do as well. So I would say in any marketing position, even people that I'm looking to support me in distribution, like the social media managers or things like that, I'm always just wondering who has the best attitude. And then attention to detail. Like if you're in marketing, you need to test things. You need to make sure things are working, what's not working. You need to know who you've reached out to and when. And so if someone can pay attention to trends and response rate, for example, that's tremendously helpful.
Yeah, those are all good points. And I think definitely the second one is true for almost any industry in the sense that attitude is everything and it will take you so far. And I think that we probably feel this way or more strongly or have a sense of belief in this more than most given our background in psychology, but people can really detect when you're being genuine or when you're not, or when you're trying to fake something. And I think that people have a very strong gut instinct for knowing who is good or who is decent and essentially what their attitude and intentions are. So I think you're right in that sense, even outside of working and marketing, I mean, your attitude really is everything.
Yeah, I almost wanted to say, like, just look for someone that feels good, but how do you measure that? How does someone, you know, there's also really deceptive people sometimes that slip by, so you want to look for other things. But generally, yeah, I feel like it, whenever I hire someone, it felt right and my gut was right. And then there were times I've hired people anyway because they had everything else. And even though my gut was wrong, or my gut told me not to do it, I hired them anyway, and it turned out my gut was right. So, yeah, I think you're right about that as well. You can generally sense who's going to be a good fit and who's not.
Yeah. And now this is my last question. I want to finish on vanity metrics. Can you highlight some common vanity metrics or why they're not as important as we think they are and what we should be looking for?
Hey. Yeah, it's hard. This is one of the hardest things, I think, for SEO, at least. I don't know in other industries, but it's so dependent on Google and it's so dependent on trends and what's going on in the world, like the pandemic. I can't even begin to tell one of my clients in the travel industry what's going to happen to their rankings because everything's wild. So it's really hard to have metrics that measure the success of what I'm doing, other than traffic is the best one. So ones that I find that are more like just feel good metrics is click-through rate, CTR. Because you want a higher CTR, like if you're worried about conversion and people coming to your site and whether or not you're creating content that works for the company's overall goal, you want to make sure it's converting. But what I find is that when I'm actually doing a really good job and I'm ranking for a lot of new keywords really quickly, the conversion rate goes down overall because now I've got pages all over Google for teeny tiny keywords everywhere. And they're maybe not on page one, they're on page two or three and they're working their way up. But because they're so far down on the list, the click-through rate is low. And so it just brings down the whole metric as a whole. And then I would say backlinks for sure is a vanity metric. maybe it wasn't, like I mentioned a few years ago, when a backlink was a backlink and that was it. But now Google is so smart. And so if you have really low quality backlinks, it's actually going to hurt your site. So if you say to a client, oh, I got 5 or 10 new backlinks, 7 of them could be really spammy and it could actually hurt your site. So I just try to focus on, are we getting good backlinks and is that helping us get more exposure and ultimately traffic? And then, yeah, followers and likes and comments are like social media's version of backlinks. They only really matter if they're good quality and actually going to develop a community or something that is useful to your brand. Otherwise, they could be bots. They could just be random people who are scrolling when they're bored or, you know. So those are the three I would say are vanity metrics.
Thank you. I think that last point you made was a really good analogy of like bad backlinks almost being like spammy bots on social media. I've never thought of it like that, but it's a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marky, I'm saying your name right? Marky?
Yeah.
I'm so nervous about it. I don't know. Every time I say it, I'm like, but Marky, if people want to follow you or keep up with the work you're doing or simply hire you or whatever, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, you can find me at livsozy.com or on Instagram, livsozy.
I really appreciate you joining me today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's been nice. And I can't wait to listen to that episode about SEO and psychology.
I'll send that over. Don't worry.